This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And many of the critics of Islam, they quote the famous verse of the Quran of Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse number 5, which says, wherever you find a kafir, you kill him. And Arun Shuri in his book, The World of Fatwas, quotes the same verse. And he gives the reference. Quran says in Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse number 5, wherever you find the kafir, into bracket, he says Hindu, you kill him. And when you open the Quran, Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse number 5, and you read the translation, the Quran does say, wherever you find the unbeliever, kafir, kill him. But it is out of context. To understand the context, you start from verse number 1 of Surah Tawbah, chapter 9. There was a peace treaty between the Muslims and the mushriks of Makkah. This peace treaty was unilaterally broken by the mushriks of Makkah. By the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches verse number 5, He is giving an ultimatum to the mushriks of Makkah. Put things straight in 4 months' time, otherwise a declaration of war. And in the battlefield, when the enemy come, when they come to kill you, when they come to attack you, in the battlefield, when the unbelievers come, then kill them. Don't get scared, kill them. And wait for them in every stratagem of war. This is the verse of the Quran talking about the battlefield. When the enemies break the contract and when they come in the battlefield to fight you, don't get scared, fight them back. And this is normal. Any army general, to boost the morale of his soldiers, he will not say run away. He will say when the enemies come, you fight them. That is what the Quran says. It is a verse in the battlefield. It's taken out of context. And Arun Shuri, after quoting verse number 5, he jumps to verse number 7. You know why? Verse number 6 has the answer to his sickness. Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 6 says, if the unbelievers, if the enemies, if the kafir, if they want peace, if they want asylum, don't just give it to them, escort them to a place of security. If the enemy, if the unbelievers, if they want asylum, if they want peace, don't just give it to them, escort them to a place of security so that they may hear the word of Allah. Today, which army general will say this? Maximum will tell his soldiers, if the enemy want peace, let them go. The Quran says, don't let them go, escort them to a place of security. And almost all the verses of the Quran, whenever it talks about fighting in the battlefield, the next verse says, peace is better. Whichever verse you pick up of the Quran, when it talks about fighting in the battlefield against the enemy, immediately next verse says, peace is better. Even this verse says, if the enemy want peace, give it to them. And the Quran is very explicit. The verse which was recited by the Qari in the beginning of the program, Surah Maida, chapter 5, verse number 32, says that if anyone kills any other human being, unless it be for murder or for spreading corruption in the land, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. And if anyone saves any human being, it is as though he has saved the whole nation. Here the Quran says, if any human being kills any other human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, any human being kills any other human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, unless it be for corruption, for spreading corruption, or for murder, it is as though he has killed the whole of humanity. And if anyone saves any human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, it is as though he has saved the whole of humanity. This verse of the Quran alone is sufficient to prove that Islam is against killing of any innocent human being, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. There is no other scripture in the world which says this, that if you kill one human being, you have killed the whole of humanity. And if you save one human being, you have saved the whole of humanity. Islam is so clear and explicit. Killing of any innocent human being is totally prohibited. And I remember in Bombay in 2006, I gave a talk on, is terrorism a Muslim monopoly? That's a different subject altogether. And that happened immediately after the train bomb blast in Bombay, and the situation in Bombay was tense. Here the police is telling me that why don't you give a talk to explain to the Muslims, and the Muslims are telling me why don't you give a talk to the police to explain. You know, so I'm on the edge of a sword now. In a sensitive situation, I gave a talk on Is Terrorism Muslim Monopoly, and I gave my views. And during question answer time, there was a Hindu who came and told that if I was a Muslim, you know, thousands of Muslims were killed in Gujarat, thousands of Muslim women were raped, and later on there was a bomb blast that takes place in Bombay, more than 180 people are killed, and it was in the newspaper that Muslims are behind this bomb blast. So during question answer time, this Hindu gets up and says that if I was in the place of the Muslim, and if thousands of Muslims were killed and thousands of women were raped, I would have done the same thing. I would have done the bomb blast in Bombay. And everyone clapped. I told him that what you're behaving is like a normal human being. It's a reaction. Thousands of Muslims are killed, and if thousands of Muslim women are raped, but I cannot do that. I, being a Muslim, I cannot do that because my Quran, the last and final commandment in the Quran, does not permit me to kill any innocent human being. If some Hindus have done in Gujarat, it does not permit me to kill the other Hindus in Bombay. It is prohibited in Islam. Just because some Hindus did some mistake in Gujarat, I cannot harm the Hindus of Bombay. If you catch the Hindu in Gujarat who has done the mistake, give him to the law, give him punishment, I'm for it. But you cannot take revenge by killing Hindus in Bombay. It's not allowed in Islam. Imagine the innocent Hindu who's been harmed, his family forever would become enemies of Islam. Killing any innocent human being is prohibited in Islam. And one more example, that when I was in UK, or when I was allowed to go to UK, I gave a talk on same topic, Islamic viewpoint on terrorism and jihad. A young boy after my lecture said, "Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar." And then he said, "Death to George Bush, death to George Bush." I give such a good lecture. Now this young Muslim, on my full lecture, you know, Hindi mein bolte pani pher diya, means he has ruined my full lecture. Everyone is clapping and he gets up, "Death to George Bush." And everyone clapped. Then I told him that if you read the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there were two staunch enemies of Islam. Both their names were Umar. So a prophet prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at least give hidayah to one Umar. And Allah gave hidayah to Umar bin Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, who became the staunchest supporter of Islam. So I pray to Allah that give hidayah to George Bush. By killing him, he won't solve the problem. I say that give hidayah to one of the two, George Bush or Tony Blair. You read the seerah of the Prophet rather than be emotional. You know, Muslims get emotional. If you read the seerah of the Prophet, you know how did the Prophet deal with things. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 190, that fight against those who fight you, but do not transgress, for Allah likes not those who are transgressors. Allah says in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 193, that fight until there is no more tumult and oppression. Islam is against oppression. And even when we do qital, there are certain guidelines laid down by Allah and His Messenger for qital, that when you have to fight in self-defense. Almost all were in self-defense. There are guidelines laid down that when you fight, do not chop trees, do not hurt the women, do not hurt the old men, do not come in the battlefield, do not kill children, do not break down monasteries, do not destroy the temples. Today you find in the all bombing everyone, women killed, children killed, men killed. If you compare in the complete history of Muhammad, there were 82 encounters taking place, and 1,018 people were killed. In World War I, more than 10 million people were killed. In World War II, more than 20 million people were killed. Compare this. Today, as I said, media is very powerful, can convert black into white, day into night. When the Christian nuns When they cover the head, they are respected. When Muslim women cover the head, then they say Islam degrades the woman. Why? When the Sikh wears the turban and keeps a beard, he is called religious. When Muslim wear a cap and keep a beard, he is called as a fundamentalist, terrorist.